Well, good morning. It still is. Won't be by the time we finish though. But it's good to be here again. Obviously, I've been here many times, but not for a couple of years. I thank you for the invitation to come back and address you. I understand many of you have travelled long distances to be here. So I think there's people from interstate as well as other parts of New South Wales. So it's always great to catch up and be the body of Christ together, isn't it, right across the nation. So this morning and this afternoon, not that I'm taking two sessions, but I'm going to be overlapping. So this morning I want to try and help you to understand just where we are as a nation, particularly in relationship to the River of God, which is the theme of this conference. So I want to help you to gain that understanding. So that's what I'll be doing this morning. So your theme of the conference is the River of God. So I just want to go back to the scripture that is the basis of our being together this weekend. From Psalm 46 and from verses 4 if I might just go through till 7 rather than 6, which I think you are looking at. There is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. And whilst nations are in uproar and kingdoms fall, he lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. We're living in troubled times. And so we need to understand what this river of God is all about. We are part of that river, and God is doing things sometimes beyond our understanding. We can't see the whole picture when we look at the world in which we live today. We can't fully understand what God is doing in our nation, but this we do know, that God is in control. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows where he's taking us. And so our role as we flow down this river of God, and by the way, that's not a physical river. It's a spiritual river. It's a river that you and I are in and can enter in and can hop out onto the bank and have a bit of a rest every now and again, I guess. But it's a flow of the Spirit of God that comes from the throne of God. But he uses the analogy of a river. And this morning, to start with, I want to help us to understand some of the things about rivers, because they're in the news at the moment, aren't they? With the floods that are happening in central western New South Wales and now South Australia, I believe, rivers are in the limelight. So we need to understand some of the characteristics of a physical river to help us to understand some of the characteristics of the spiritual river that God speaks about. So this river makes glad the city of God. You know, many cities around the nation are built on rivers. Some of our major cities are built on waterways, because that's where life comes from. Life comes from the waterways, it gives us our drinking water, it waters our crops, it gives us places where we can have refreshing and leisure activities and so forth. But, you know, the city of Jerusalem doesn't have a river. Its river is Christ himself. He's the one who brings life to the city of Jerusalem. And so it is the holy place where the Most High dwells, and God is within that city of Jerusalem. And just as she will not fall, neither will God's people fall, because God will help us in all that he takes us through. Nations may be in uproar, kingdoms may fall, and all around us we see that happening. Our nation is in uproar. Our nation is almost ungovernable, because there is so much tearing in different directions as ideology takes over from understanding the truth and wisdom of God that he wants nations to understand. But you know, when the end comes, he will just lift his voice and the earth will melt. He is in control. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Now let's have a look at this river of God. First of all, what is the purpose of rivers? Well, they bring life. They are also places where we can gain refreshment. And so being in the river of God is a place where we can be refreshed by the power and presence of God through His Holy Spirit. And so we know that being part of the body of Christ is a great place to be, because it's where we can meet with other like-minded people, and where God can speak to us, and where God can refresh us. And so we keep coming back to that river week by week, Sunday by Sunday. But you know, we need to not only come back to that river for refreshment, but we need to understand that that river also has another purpose. It has a purpose that goes beyond just a place where we can be refreshed, a place where we can experience the friendships and fellowship of other like-minded people and receive the blessings of God. There is a purpose for the river, and we need to understand God's purpose for His river, the river of God. Now, a river is only as strong as the catchment area where the rains fall that begin to make the river flow. And so every river has a source, and every river has an outlet. Otherwise, it becomes a stagnant pool. And so God, in showing us this understanding of the river of God, we look at the natural river, and we see that a natural river has a source and an outlet. The river of God, the source, is the throne of God. It is where God speaks and where God passes out, if you like, the instructions, the blessings, the refreshment, and all of that thing. It flows from the river of God, flows from the throne of God. And the greater your catchment area, the more that you're going to receive of His understanding and His wisdom. And so you need to know that the source of life is that river, and that river comes from the throne of God. But it also has to have an outlet. It's no point in just receiving or being part of the river. It's not like going to the amusement parks where you get in those little rubber dinghies type of things and you float down the lazy river, as they call it. That's wonderful for a weekend, but it's no good for a whole lifetime. And so we need to understand that being in the river of God is not like being in a little rubber dinghy that floats down the river and you just lie back and let it take you wherever it takes you. There is a purpose for the river of God. There is a purpose that God has. And you and I are the ones that are going to fulfill that purpose as we fulfill what God has called us to do. And so we need to allow the river of God to take us to a destination, to take us to a place or a point where He is able to do in us and through us what He purposes to do to build His kingdom. You see, God doesn't need our help really to build His kingdom. He doesn't need us, we need Him. He doesn't need us, He could do it Himself. But God has chosen to only work when He has people to work through. And so we must be there. We must be willing to play our part. Otherwise, the river of God will just be that lazy river where we just float from day to day, watching out for the blessings of God as they come by, taking a little fruit off that particular tree and a bit of fruit off that tree, and growing fat on all of that, but it never leads anywhere, really. Rivers are orderly. They flow within defined boundaries, and they follow the laws of gravity. And so, you know, when God has a purpose that is a clearly defined purpose, He has a means of getting what He wants done. He has a means of getting it done. But we need to understand what that purpose is, and we need to understand how He purposes to achieve what He wants to achieve. But the river flows within defined boundaries, within its own banks. Occasionally, as we're seeing now, it breaks out from those. But generally speaking, there is order within the river. And it follows the laws of gravity. It follows the laws of God. We can know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can be assured that what God teaches us and speaks to us about in His Word is just as true today and will be just as true tomorrow as it was when it was written. We can rely on it. There is order in the river of God. And so we can rely on the things that God has taught us and that we learn as we go into this river. Rivers alter their landscape. Over a period of time, rivers may change course. The river as it flows down erodes and can make new paths that weren't there before. And especially perhaps after a flood, there is more likelihood that other streams might begin to emerge, where the river has taken a different course and it's begun to make a different path. The river of God can change cities, can change nations, can change lives. And so one of the purposes of the river of God is to do that. It's not just that we might be refreshed, it's not just that we might enjoy the time of being in the river, but it's to forge and make new ways in landscapes that have been there for time immemorial. Rivers, when they can become a power when they're harnessed. And so we can generate power, we can generate electricity through power stations that are powered by the flow of rivers. And so when the river is flowing strongly enough, we can generate power in the world in which we live. And so it is in the spiritual realm that God wants to generate power through those who are called by His name, because when He harnesses that power, it can actually change situations. And that's what we're called to be, world changers. We're not here to be pushed around by the world. We're here to change the world, to bring it back to a right position within God. A river never flows straight. It always twists and turns. It doesn't start on a journey and just keep going in the same direction. From time to time, it takes a bend and it takes a turn. And if you look down on a river from a great height, you will see that the river meanders and winds its way, looking for the landscape which will allow it to trickle down into a new sense of purpose. And so we need to understand that life also has its twists and turns. What we start off doing today, we won't necessarily be doing in 5 years' time or 10 years' time. Over the 30 years of my ministry, there's been 6 or 7 times when God distinctly has changed direction and we've had to change with Him. And if we don't change with Him, we stagnate. We're actually back in a place where God has then left and He's gone in another direction. And so we need to understand that when we become a Christian, we don't just stay on the same path right through till we die. If we hop into the river of God, it will take us to here and it will take us to there, and there'll be new seasons and new openings and new opportunities. And we need to be on our toes, a bit harder in a river, I suppose, but we need to be flowing with the Spirit of God and understanding that where God is taking us, and be willing to be taken wherever God wants this river of life to go. A river never flows straight. It twists and turns. And that's the Christian life. The Christian life is not static. The Christian life is vibrant, alive. The Christian life is always new experiences. And even at my age, I'm still learning things about life, because God's still revealing Himself to me. And I haven't yet fully understood all there is to understand about Him. And so you and I, we need to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Don't expect to be in the same place where you were 5 years ago. And don't expect to be in the same place in 5 years' time. I'm not saying that you've got to change church or change houses or whatever. But in the spiritual realm, you need to keep growing. You need to keep stretching. If you're not stretching, you're not growing. God is always, I find in my life, God is always taking me a little bit beyond my comfort zone. He's always taking me a little bit further than what I want to go. Because that's the way we grow. That's the way the kingdom expands. That's the way the river of God forges into new territory. And so the river can be both a blessing or it can bring destruction, as we see through the floods. And so the river of God is not just for blessing. There will come times when there will be turbulence. There will come times when the levels of the river will exceed the banks, and there will be floods, and the floods will bring destruction to property, to livestock, to homes, and whatever. And we may say, well, that's not the real purpose of the river. But you know, floods are part of God's way of restoring the land. Silt and all of that stuff makes land richer after a flood than it was beforehand. And so we put up with the destruction and the inconvenience for a season, because we know this is part of nature's plan, God's plan, to bring new life, to give a new start to the farming lands that are beside the river and so forth. And so it is in life. Life is not just one happy, long experience of God's blessing. There are times when we come against situations which to us are destructive. But God has a purpose in all of that. So no matter what you're going through at this point of time, it's in God's purpose for you. It's in God's purpose that you go through the difficult times, because the difficult times is when you actually grow. You learn new things. You grow and you expand in your understanding. And so so when the floods come, yes, we don't like our homes being inundated with water. We don't like it when we can't drive down a particular road that we want to go down to. But in the bigger purposes of God, even the flood has a purpose. And I want to say to you that we're coming to a time when there's going to be turbulence in the water. I guess there's turbulence now, but I think it's going to get even worse before it gets better. And we need to be prepared for that. And we need to know that that's in God's purposes, because God is bringing turbulence because he's not satisfied that we're at the place he wants us to be. So he's going to unsettle us. He's going to stretch us. And he's going to stretch us through the things that will be going on around about us in our nation and the nations. And we may not fully understand it, but we need to go back to the scriptures, which says the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Nations may be in uproar. Kingdoms will fall. But when the time comes, he will just lift his voice and all will cease. The earth will melt. Rivers sustain life within themselves, but they also bring life everywhere they go. Within the river, there is the fish. There is the life that the river sustains, both within it, but also it allows itself to be drawn to be a source of irrigation for the farming lands that are by the river. So the river has a purpose to sustain life within it, but also to sustain life for those that draw from it but aren't necessarily themselves within the river. And so we need to understand that as well, that the river isn't just for us. The river is for all people. The river is not for us to just be refreshed by. The river is also to give out to those who have nothing, to those who live on the banks of the river but never get into the river itself. The river wants to also be a source of life to them. And so the river is. It's used for irrigation. The river is a source where ships and boats ply their trade up and down the river or up and down or over the ocean. It's an active river. It's a river that some people live in for all of their life, but it's also a place where some people come for a time and leave again and then come back for more and whatever. It's an alive, it's a living, it's the river of God. It's not stagnant, it's flowing. It has a purpose. It has a source and it has a destination. And so as we look at the natural river, we can gain some insight into what the Spirit of God, the river of God, is in relationship to our life and what God wants to do in us and through us. Now, I want to share with you a couple of prophetic visions or prophetic dreams, not that I've had, but other people have had, And I want, because I believe they speak to something of the situation that we face in our nation today. And I think you'll understand as you listen to these two visions or dreams, you'll begin to understand a little bit about what God is actually doing and what the river represents for us right now today. The first one comes from Cindy Jacobs, who will be well known to you. I came across a prophetic vision or a prophetic dream that she had about 2 or 3 years ago. And I looked at it and I read it and I thought, that's exactly where things are at today for the body of Christ. And so we can learn from this. We can gain an insight into what God is actually doing today. And so this dream or this vision was given to her and she wrote it down, and that's obviously, I've been able to get it from some of her writings. But I think it does speak very, very clearly of what God is doing and the purpose of the river of God. You know, there is another passage in Ezekiel which also talks about the river of God and how it flows from the throne of God and so forth, and it talks about the purposes of it feeding the trees on the river banks, and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. You know, in many ways, we're the fruit of that river. In many ways, we are the leaves on the trees and so forth. We're the ones that God is going to use to bring healing to the nations. And so we need to make sure that our relationship with God, we need to make sure that where God has us and where God wants us is where we make sure we place ourselves. And so she was having this dream, and in this dream she saw this beautiful river. And there were people going in and out of the river. And God said to her, they're my people. They're my people. That's my church. My church is getting in and out of the river. Some are staying longer than others, but some come down for refreshment. Then they go back out and they go back to work because they can't work in the river. They have to find something to do in the banks. So, but the people were enjoying themselves. And it was a beautiful river. It was a clean, clear, crystal river. And so the Lord said to her, that river represents my church, and the people are coming and going, coming in for refreshment, coming in for teaching, coming in for restoration, then going back out and living their life in the world. But as she watched the river, she saw something which was distressing to her. She saw that sometimes the people would bring their garbage with them and they would dump their garbage in the river. And so the river was becoming polluted. When they got sick, some were vomiting in the river. And this lovely, clear, clear, crystal river was being defiled, if you like, by the garbage that people kept bringing to it and dumping their garbage in the river, and also because they were throwing up in the river. So it was becoming polluted and it made it unclean. And then the Lord told her what some of the garbage was that was being brought to the river, so that she would know what to pray against and what we need to know, what we need to guard against. And some of the things, some of the garbage that was being brought to that river was judgmentalism. There's a bit of that in the body of Christ, isn't there? And that's dishonoring to God. That pollutes the river of God. Criticism was the second one. We know there's plenty of that in the river as well. But that pollutes the river of God as well. Sectarianism, strife, divisions, all of those pollute the river of God. They're not part of God's plan. They're not part of God's purpose for the river. God created it crystal clear and crystal clean so that when we came to the river, we would be able to drink of that water, and it would be living water. It would be water that refreshes and gives us life, and would be able to use that unpolluted water to water our crops and do all those sorts of things. But as the people played in the river, they were bringing all this garbage and dumping it. And they didn't realize that the crystal clear water was becoming dark and becoming murky. Then there were others who began to watch these people playing in the river. And the Lord said, these are the people of the world. They're standing on the edge of the river, looking in and seeing, what are those people doing? What are those people? They seem to be having a lot of fun in the river. And they're drinking the water, and it doesn't seem to be doing them any harm. So why don't we try and see whether the water is fresh and good? And so the people on the banks, and the Lord said, these represent the world. The people on the banks of the river came down and knelt by the river and began to scoop up the water into their mouth. And as soon as they did, it was terrible. And they spat it out. It was bitter. They wanted nothing to do with it, because the garbage that the people of God had brought down and dumped in the river had made what God created, a crystal clean, clear river fit for human consumption, that we'd turned it into a place where when people of the world came to taste, it was bitter and they could not stand it. So they spat it out and said, we want nothing to do with that river. Isn't that the world today? That's the world today. But you know what happened with those people? The people who were already in the river were still drinking of the water. They didn't realize that it had turned from being pure, crystal clear water to polluted water. They hardly noticed it. They hardly noticed how polluted it was. They just went on splashing around, enjoying themselves, and wondering why no one else would come into the water with them. Well, the people wanted to come into the water, but it wasn't the kind of water that they could stomach. So they stayed away. Eventually, the people in this dream, eventually the people came out of the water and began to rest on the banks. And as they rested on the banks, the splashing around in the water had made them tired. So they just lay on the bank and went to sleep. And they stayed asleep for some time. And the Lord was trying to wake them up, but he could only get a few people awake. He woke up a few people. And Cindy Jacobs said, the Lord showed me that those few people whom the Lord was able to wake from their slumber was the prophetic voice that God is raising up in his church to remind the people that they're not where God wants them to be. They're not seeing the river for what God intended it to be. And instead of allowing that river to be the river of God, it become polluted now. But only a few woke up. But that prophetic voice spoke, and those people went around trying to wake up others, but they couldn't wake them from their slumber. So then she saw the Lord give to those few who had woken up a jars of ointment. And they went around and they put the ointment on the eyes of those who were still asleep. And gradually more and more began to wake up. They began to wake up, and when they woke up, they became aware of the pollution that was the river that they saw before their eyes. No longer could they even stomach the water, because now they had seen it for what it is. This river that they knew as an unpolluted, crystal clear river had become totally polluted. And when they tried to jump up and get back in the river, it wasn't like it used to be. So they tried to plan all sorts of ways to clean the river up. But whatever they did, whatever they tried to do didn't work. And so there was no way that they seemed to be able to get this river back to what it should have been. But then they called a meeting. And in that meeting, God gave them a strategy. And the strategy was to build a filtration plant in the middle of the river, so that the water would have to flow through the filtration plant, not by anything that they did. I mean, they had to build the plant, I guess, but it wasn't through any activity that they did particularly. They knew that they had to build a filtration plant so that all the water in the river would have to go through the filtration plant, and as it did, it would be purified. And the Lord said to Cindy, he said, that filtration plant are the prayers of my people. You know that I head the Australian Prayer Network, and so I'm on the cutting edge of prayer in our nation. And I have to say to you that I have never, ever in all my 30 years of ministry seen the amount of interest in prayer that is building in our nation right now. That's a good story. That's the good news story. We have never seen in people's interest in prayer at the level it is now in 30 years of ministry. Some of you have probably been to our schools across the nation, and we've now up to 7,000 people who have come through our foundation level schools across the nation. That's unprecedented. We've never seen anything like that in 30 years of ministry. So God is preparing something. God is building a filtration plant in the middle of the river of God, where all the water will have to flow through. And so the pollution will be gathered up, will be able to be cast aside. And on the other side of that, of the filtration plant, the river once again will be crystal clean. We're going through that process, aren't we? God has built and he's building through the prayers of his people, calling those whose ears are open and those whose eyes are willing to see that God has a purpose for his church that has not yet been fulfilled. It's still happening. And he calls you and I to be part of that. He calls you and I to be part of that filtration plant, cleaning up the body of Christ, cleaning out the pollution, the judgmentalism, the criticism, the sectarianism, the strife and the divisions. We can't just sit and wait for someone else to do the work. We have to be the ones that do the work, because we're the ones that God is giving the strategy to. I don't know what God's going to do in our nation. I don't know what God is going to do in the nations, but I know he's preparing for something large, something big. When we see people travel hundreds of kilometres, sometimes even 1,000 kilometres, to come to a prayer school, we know that God is up to something, because that is not natural. That would never have happened in years gone by, and it's not because of anything we are doing. It's because God is causing people to awaken and to see things as they really are, and they're not what God wants them to be. He wants his river to be crystal clear and clean. He wants his river to be bring life to those who stand on the bank and watch. He wants to invite those on the bank to come into the river and to partake of the river and to find that the water that they drink is beautiful. It's clean, it's crisp, and it's cool. It's everything that the people want. That's what he wants his church to be like. But we've polluted it. We've polluted it. And the people won't come into the water. So we have to make it clean. And there's nothing we can do to make it clean except to do what God tells us to do. To build a filtration plant of prayer. Because prayer will bring the cleansing. And so today, right across this nation, there are people being trained, people gaining fresh understanding, people being called to a new, fresh understanding of the ministry of prayer, people whom God is using to bring a new dimension to their life in Christ, to bring a new dimension to the river of God. And there will come a day, even though the nations are in uproar and the kingdoms are falling all around us, There will come the day when he will lift his voice. The earth will melt and the people will flood to the river. We're looking forward to that day. I hope that day happens before my time on earth is finished. I've been working towards it for 30 years. But I guess if I'm not here when it happens, I'll be able to see it from up there, won't I? See what God is doing. And God is doing something powerful. So where are you in relation to that river? Are you just going down on that rubber dinghy down the lazy river and just letting it take you wherever you want to go and relaxing and enjoying it? Or are you going to put your shoulder to the wheel and help build that filtration plant? Are you going to be one of the ones that God is going to use to change the course of the river? Are you going to forge a new direction for the river? Are you going to come and say, look, it's better if the river goes this direction rather than over there, because over there it just wastes, because it just sits there and it becomes stagnant. It's not a flowing. It's just backwater. We need to make a fresh course for the river, which will allow it to continue its flow down into the ocean. The choice is ours, isn't it? We can just be those who are sitting back and allowing the world to go by, enjoying our time in the body of Christ and in the church and in the communities that you belong to, or we can become on the cutting edge. And those of you who know me know that my catch cry is total availability and radical obedience. That's what God requires if he's going to change the course of our nation or the course of the nations. I want to give you a second vision. And this came from one of our intercessors. So this is from a no-name person. Just a person who was seeking God and asking God, you know, what do you want to show me, Lord? And this person got this vision of a soldier. And she sent it to me. And I think this is a description that fits so much of what I see in the body of Christ. And so I want you to listen and to hear what God is saying through this vision, through this dream that this lady received. She said, I saw a soldier who in the battle had removed his armor. He'd taken off his helmet, taken off his breastplate, laid down his shield and thrown away his sword. In other words, he was coming to the river to have a good time. He didn't need all those things anymore. He's in the river of God. And isn't that a place of safety? Isn't that a place where we don't need all the armor? In fact, how are you going to swim in the river of God if you've got all this armor on you? But he did have something left. His shoes were still in place. And the Lord said, that soldier represents those who have fallen into sin. They have removed their armor. And like a soldier removing his armor in a battle, they have made themselves extremely vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. He's removed his helmet of salvation, taken off his breastplate of righteousness, he's laid down his shield of faith and discarded the truth of the word of God, his sword. But he still carried with his feet the message of the gospel. So he still had his boots on. But he had allowed sin in, and the enemy has taken the opportunity and struck him down. You know, it's sometimes we think that, well, if we're in God, he's going to be our protection. If we're in God and where God wants us to be, if we're in the body of Christ, we don't need all this stuff that we carry around, the armor of God. Oh, yes, we do. We do. Because being in the body of Christ is going to open us up to spiritual attack. And whilst we may continue to do the things that Christians do, we may continue to read the Bible and pray and testify to other people. We may carry the shoes of peace on our feet, But if we haven't got the armor of God on our minds and on our hearts, and we don't know the word of the Lord, and we aren't reading the word of the Lord, when the enemy strikes, we're naked. And so he cuts us down. And haven't there been many people who have been cut down in the body of Christ in recent years because they haven't understood that even within the body of Christ, we need to put on the armor of God. We need to understand what our salvation is. We need to understand that we need to have a breastplate of righteousness. We need to have a shield of faith. And we need to have the sword of the Spirit. We need to understand what it is that God wants us to do. You see, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces. And as children of God, we are a family. We are soldiers alongside our own brethren. And when you're in the army, sometimes a soldier brother will fall, especially those in the front lines who have removed their armor. What do we do when this happens? Well, a weak army will simply crumble and fall, scatter and run. But a strong army regroups, strengthens its ranks, and continues the battle until it is won. Some in the army have the job of attending to healing the wounded or even burying the fallen, but the rest will continue to advance. We're called to be that army that, in spite of all that we see happening around us, in spite of those who have fallen, we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. We need to be the ones that continue on in the battle. But we need to make sure that we've got the full armor of God on us and that we're just not walking around in the shoes of the peace, the shoes of the gospel. There's more to our Christian walk than simply carrying the shoes of the gospel. We need to be fully armored. We need to be fully protected against all that's coming against us. And so I want to say again, I believe that the river of God is going to become turbulent in the days ahead. In our own nation, we don't know what's going to happen in our own nation in the next 4 or 5 months in relation to the plebiscite, for instance. But if the plebiscite is carried, there will come a time of persecution against the Christian church where we will be told that we are no longer able to preach on certain areas of life and not allowed to criticize or hold views or express views which are contrary to what the nation says is right. Not what God says is right, but what the other people say is right. I can't overemphasize the importance that this season we're entering into is, because if we don't have our armor on, some are going to be decimated. And so God is saying to us as a nation, get ready. And I think that that's one of the reasons why God is preparing for the praying for people to come back to prayer, to come back to understand that prayer is the filtration, plant that's going to sift out the muck and all the pollution that is built up within the body of Christ. Prayer is going to be the filtration plant through which the water has to flow. And I think we need to learn how to pray again. We need to learn how to be the kind of people who stand up for the things that God wants us to stand up for. I think that this season is going to sort people out. Those who are just sitting on the bank of the river and letting the water come over their feet are going to find that that's not enough to be able to survive. Those that will survive will be strong, strong in the word, strong in their faith, strong in righteousness, strong in their salvation. And that's the call that God wants to put out today. We're all in the river of God, but where are we in that river? Are we just simply floating down, enjoying all the scenery as we go by it? Or do we understand that river has a purpose? And that river has a purpose to bring life to all, not just the ones who are in the water, but because the water is so polluted, those people aren't very interested at this point of time in getting into the water with us. So where do you stand? Are you one of those ones that are going to rise up and say, Lord, I want to be totally available and radically obedient. I want to be one of those ones, Lord, that helps to turn the tide. I want to be one of those ones that in the midst of the turbulence in the water, I don't get tossed out of the boat. I want to be one of those ones that survives, Father. I want to be one of those ones that you are able to use to turn the tide. But you know, that takes commitment. It means that we can't sit on the bank and say, well, other people are doing it okay. We don't need to commit to that. Oh, yes, we do. We're coming to a time in our nation. We're coming to a season in our nation where everyone will have to put their shoulder to the wheel. And if we don't, there's going to be many casualties. Many who are going to be swept away by the rushing flood of the river. But those who survive, God will be there to meet us. God will be there to hold our hands. God will be there to sustain us through this time. The nation may be in uproar. Kingdoms may fall all around us. But he will protect us. For the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Will you join others who are already standing in that river, seeking to build that filtration plant? Will you join us? Because we need every hand on deck. We need every hand to do what you can do, to do what God, the part that God gives you to play. We need it. We need you to put your hand to the wheel. We need you to help build that filtration plant. We need more and more people to understand that that prayer has been given to us by God, not just to have a conversation with him, but prayer is God's tool of power that changes nations. If we want to change our nation, if we want to see our nation changed, nothing we can do in the natural can change anything. We're in a desperate place where, in a sense, in the natural, we've already lost the battle. In the natural, there is no hope. Public opinion is turned right around. And now the Christian church, in a matter of just a few years, has gone from being respected to being vilified. That's where we are as a nation. We can either jump ship and try and hide, or we can stand up strong and say, my God is my fortress. My God will help me to rise above this. And commit yourself to follow him afresh in a deeper way than you've ever done that before. And that's the challenge I want to bring you this morning, or now this afternoon. And so I hope there'll be too many people for me to pray with. But I want you, if you feel that God is calling you afresh, to take a stand in the river, to not just sit on the bank and watch it go by, but to get your feet wet and your whole body wet, and to even go under the water to do stuff that others may be not able to do, then I want to give you the opportunity to just come forward and acknowledge that to God. While you're coming forward, it's just acknowledging, Lord, I realize that there is more to being in the river than just being refreshed. There is a call, there is a purpose for the river. There is an outlet. The water has to flow somewhere. It has to achieve what God purposes for it to achieve when he pours it out from the throne room of God. If you want to commit yourself afresh to the purposes of God, then I invite you to come and stand. I'll pray with you corporately, and others may minister from the, I don't know, but hopefully there might be too many people to spend all the lunch hour ministering to you personally. But you come. If you feel that God is challenging you to take a step deeper into the waters, into the river of God, if you understand that this season in our nation is a season where God's people have to step up to the mark. We cannot any longer be allowing others to do the work that God is calling us to do. You come. You see, what this shows me is what God's doing in his people. You see, God is calling his people to a fresh walk. God is calling his people. This is not because of a good word that I brought. This is the Spirit of God calling his people back to himself. You've come forward to say to the Lord, Lord, I understand that if I don't play my part, then things aren't going to work out the way that I hope they will. And so, Father, this morning, just as we stand before you, these people who have come have not come to respond to my call, but have come to respond to your call, to jump into the river with their whole armor on, knowing that they won't sink because you're there and you will sustain them and you will protect them and you will help them to build the filtration plant through which this river has to pass to cleanse it, to purify it, to bring it back to what it you meant it to be. Your church, alive, vibrant, feeding the people who live on the banks of the river. Father, take our commitment this morning. And as I pray for each one of these people, Lord, I ask you that you would meet them at this moment of decision, that you would do something in their life which will enable them to leave behind what they have or haven't been, to come into a new place in you, a new place in the river, so that your glory will be seen by those people who are standing on the edge looking and saying, what are those people doing in that river? They seem to be having a good time. Maybe we should jump into the river, but when they do, it's bitter. They cannot drink it. Lord, purify us as you purify your church and bring us to a new place where we will see your river flowing as you meant it to be, crystal clear, clean, refreshing, feeding us and drinking, allowing us to feed and causing us to partake of that river, so that it brings new life to each one of us. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this nation. We thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of these people. And this morning, as they've made their way to the front, what they are saying, Father, is, I want to be totally available and radically obedient to be used of you to restore your body to its place of preeminence in our nation and the nations. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.